Why don't you take your Bibles, please, and go to Isaiah 45. You know, the world that we live in can get awfully discouraging at times, can't it? And I think most people, when they think of, and when I was thinking of this teaching and putting it together, I was thinking how many people have God, Almighty God, very small in their heart and in their life. They treat him like he is a very small God. Yahweh is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ made Almighty God known to us as a Father. And I'm truly, truly grateful for that. But I also don't want us to forget that he, our Father, who he is, what he's done, the magnificent nature, power, his wisdom, his glory, his purposes, that are all written throughout the scriptures, that this is what makes it makes him up. The scriptures teach us who he is and what he does. In Isaiah 45, in verse 12, it says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hand, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. This is who our God is. He is not finite like you and I think. We think in terms of one point to another, linear thinking. He's not that way. He's not finite. We can think in terms of there's a beginning, there's an end. There was no God before him. There'll be none after him. There is no end. He is the Almighty. He is the one who created from nothing heaven and earth. He is the one who stretched out the universe. I want you to just stretch your brain a little bit. Your Father is this God. Your Father. In verse 18, for thus saith the Lord. And if you read in the King James, every time you see L-O-R-D all capitalized, that's the King James's recognition of the word Yahweh. Okay, some people used to call it Jehovah, but it's really Yahweh. Jehovah started in the 6th century. Yahweh is the best pronunciation that many know, but the exact pronunciation, nobody knows because the Jews stopped saying the name. That's really kind of sad, isn't it? Nobody really knows how to precisely pronounce our Father's name. That's sad. But one day, I'm sure he's going to tell us exactly. Right now, I call him Father. But it says, for thus saith Yahweh that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am the God, there is none else. He didn't form this thing in vain. He made it so that it would be inhabited. That's what the purpose. And I know that this is extremely arrogant as far as the world is concerned, but I could care less about the world. Our Father created. He decided one day, I want the universe. I'm going to make an earth. On it, I'm going to put man. The whole universe is out there to support the earth from a biblical point of view. The earth is here to support man, who God wanted to fellowship with and have harmony with. You're the point of the earth. The earth, the universe, is there to support that earth. Now, is that highly arrogant? Oh, yeah. It's just the way it is, though. It's the truth, because the Lord said it. Go to Psalm 115. You know, I had that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, song because during some of the darkest hours in my life, when my young daughter at the time was very ill, night close to dying, and I had done everything that was possible to do, I would go out and walk. Go from the hospital, I'd go out in the parking lot, I'd walk and through the cars and in the parking lot, and I would sing that song to myself in my head, because he's the one that's faithful. He's the one that takes it all. He's the most powerful. He's the one, spring, summer, moon, stars. He and he alone is the Lord God Almighty. And the more I built up my thoughts and my faith on how big and how wonderful and how magnificent he is, the more joy I had and the more courage I had to know that my Father would answer all my prayers and that he would hear me and that he loved her more than I did. That was the best encouragement of it all. But it was building up who he is and thinking about who he really is that built faith in my heart and joy in my heart. So like I said, if your God, if many people who believe, and I'm not here to knock other people's beliefs, but many people believe God is very far away. He's not very interested in your little particular life. That maybe he'll hear you once in a while in a prayer, but it's not real super personal. When I grew up in church, he was up there, I'm down here, and I knew I was never going to be good enough for him to even pay attention to me. That's what I learned in church. As a child, I believed that he was sitting around waiting for me to screw up so he could smack me. That's what I was taught. That God is a very, very little God. That's not the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is not the Almighty God that's spoken of in the Scriptures. In Psalm 115, in verse 16, it says, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." God has given us this planet. We do what we choose to with it. We're supposed to steward it, take care of it, right? Some people do, some people don't. But the point is, it was for us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You can't do this without going there. Do you believe that the scripture is truth? Really? Good. So do I. Now, I know that I don't understand everything about everything. But the first chapter of Genesis was written not to prove that there is a God. It wasn't written to prove science or anything else that you and I might think. The first chapter of Genesis is a glorification of God as the Creator. It is to give Him the glory that He deserves. You know, and He created the universe to support the earth, and I'm going to show you this, and He created that earth to support man. And it says here, and the first verse is the title of the section. It says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, Elohim, Elohim is the one who willed it to be. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He willed this to be by His desire. It says, and the earth was without form and void. It was a mess. The whole place was a mess. It was tohu bohu, without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I want you to picture this. Nobody really takes this chapter too seriously. I want you as a biblical student to take it seriously this morning. God decided that He's going to make the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. It comes from nothing. The word created here means to have something from nothing. And it was without form. There was no form to it. It was void. And there was darkness. And there's darkness on something. It's called the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It breathed on the face of the waters. You know what? There's waters. First thing that you see is water. All right? And God said, let there be light. Now, there's no sun yet. There's no stars. That comes later on. Whatever this light is, it's not the one that luminous light that we get from a light bulb or the sun. Whatever this light is, it's a little different. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, when I first read this verse so many years ago, when I first opened the Bible, I thought to myself, wow. He just said, that's it. All He had to do, He didn't do nothing. He didn't wind up pitch. He just said, let there be light, and there was. Whatever your Father says is. Every promise He's made in His Word is. It will be. There is nothing going to stop. Whatever He says in His word from coming to pass. He said, let there be light, and there was. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now we got light and darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament. The word firmament is an expanse. It's a vault. Two different translations, it's called an expanse. A vault. In the midst. This word midst is in the middle. Separated between two things. It's in the midst of the waters. I just want you to picture this in your heart and in your head. You want to see how big your Father is. He made in the waters, got day and night, Now he says, in the midst of the waters, he made an expanse. If I took something and put it in the middle of water, like an air bubble, it would be in the midst of the waters, right? This firmament is in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under this firmament from this expanse from the waters which were above this expanse. And it was so. And then God calls the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. You know, you have, if I had a chalkboard, actually, if I was fancy with a computer, I could have drew you a picture, but you have water, form and void, without form and void. God moves on the spirit of the, his spirit moves upon the face of the waters and sets up light. Let there be light. And it divides the light from the darkness. Then he says, let there be a firmament. We can call it a universe. In the midst of the waters. The expanse. Because later he's going to put the stars and everything in this expanse. Just picture that. Picture old Moses sitting down here, first book of Moses, this is Genesis. Now this is kind of like before science time, right? I know that because I love the Science Channel, and I watch all of these wonderful programs that just excite me, like How the Universe Works and things like that. Do you ever watch those things, or am I the only guy that likes this stuff? And I follow astronomy a little bit. And I know that right now we think that the universe is about 14 billion light years, and that's as far as we can see with Hubble. 14 point whatever billion light years in distance. That's pretty big. You know? And God just said, let there be an expanse. And you know what's at the edge of those 14 billion? And who knows, maybe there's another 14 billion besides that we haven't seen yet. It's called water. Because he said, and I just want you, again, this is to magnify him. This is to magnify who he is. And consider this God who is our Father. It says here that he put this be in the midst, this firmament, to be in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and he divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear also. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So what is the water called that's under the heavens? The oceans, the seas. What is the water that's on the other side of the expanse? Salt water, like the oceans and the seas. It's just divided. Same stuff. The scientists are always amazed at how much water is out there in the solar system and in the comets and all. I mean, where'd all this water come from? Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. This is the commencement of time. You know how we reckon time? We look at the watch, a clock, the sun comes up, goes down, we call it a day. The things that are in the firmament, in the universe, this is how we keep, you and I keep time. So God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. And you know, when God put this up there, and he put all of it out there, you know what some of those signs were that are in the heavens? Like the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when that star, which is really the planet Jupiter, lined up over Jerusalem in such a constellation. And the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born, I believe, on September 11th, 3 BC. And it was perfect, and those magi showed up later on when he was a young boy because they had seen his star. And they say, where is he that's born king of the Jews? See, it's not just thrown up there in random. It was put out there. And it was for signs. It's for seasons. You know, it does all these jobs. And it's for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Again, the earth is the focus. And you are the focus of the earth. Everything God has provided for you and I, and all the billions of people that hang out on this place. Our Father. Our Father thought it through. Think about it. And God made two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And this is just day four. And you know, have you ever looked at some of these beautiful pictures of the stuff that you can see through a telescope? Is there anything out there that isn't beautiful and full of color? And it's just a wonder to look at. All the elements, how the stars look, all of this. It's just absolutely incredible. And the more you look, the more fascinated you become at this incredible machine that the universe is. You know, it reflects really very much like what we have here in our life. You know, we grow, we're young, we're strong, we fade, we get old, we fall asleep. New kids show up. It's just a huge cycle, isn't it? Well, everything is the same thing out there too. Same thing on the farm. Same thing in the plant kingdom. Same thing in the animal kingdom. All of it. Have you seen or thought deeply about just the diversity of creation? Nothing is dull with God. Nothing. What do you love? Flowers? The closer you look at each one, the more beautiful they are. The colors, the arrangements, the structure, the symmetry. How about birds? You know, everything isn't a sparrow, but he feeds every one of those. And aren't you much better than sparrows? Doesn't he say that? And they're kind of like the dull birds. They're little brown things. You know, but look, just think in your mind, the books that you've seen, maybe you've gone, butterflies. I went and took my granddaughter out east, and they have this exhibit of butterflies. You walk in the room, let the butterflies fly all around you, right? The beauty of a bug. Our Father doesn't do anything small. He doesn't do anything without detail. He snowflakes. Go look it up on the internet sometime. Pictures of snowflakes. The structure of the crystals. We're talking about, this is frozen water falling out of a cloud, and yet it is, every single one of them is different. Every single one of them is a masterpiece of beauty. Every single thing God has done is got heart and love and perfection and care. This is your Father. The earth sits in a perfect spot to be warmed and have the seasons it has and has the life on it. A little bit closer, you end up like Venus. You can melt lead. A little bit farther away, and you can freeze. And Mars. I don't know why everybody wants to go there. But my point is, the earth is in the place that it belongs because the Father set it there. Is it the center of the universe? I don't know. But everything else, as far as I'm concerned, supports it. Are you the center? You're the center of creation. You are the reason he put the whole thing there. And God gave man dominion on the earth, didn't he? He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill it. And he gave him, made him the God of the earth, essentially. And all he had to do was obey and be thankful to the God who provided it all, his Father. The first man. And instead, what did he do? He sinned. He sinned and threw the whole thing into chaos, into turmoil. But there's a day coming, isn't there? Because as soon as, right after mankind sinned, God promised the Savior. He promised the seed that would come, the seed of the woman. And that seed eventually was made known as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to come back one day. He's coming back for us. And you know what we get? Everything fixed. A new heaven, a new earth, new bodies, new minds. No more death, sorrow. That's coming. I'm getting towards the end of my teaching, but the point is, this is all coming. This is all planned out. This was all set. And even the heavens declared it. Go to Psalm 104, please. See, when you start to get discouraged, when life starts to kick you real hard, you got to think about how big your Father is. and how much detail he has done, and how considerate he is of the most minute things. How concerned he was about snowflakes. How concerned he was to know, he says in the scriptures, that he knows how many hairs are on your head. Which my number changes every day. The number, I'm telling you that every time I... The number of them hairs up there changes every day, and he knows. How concerned is he about you? If he's concerned about that, how concerned is he about your heart, your need? He knows what you're going to pray for, doesn't it say this, before you even ask. All he does is require that you ask. That you be humble and ask. Recognize that he is your provider. That he is the one who is your God. In Psalm 104, verse 2, it says, "Who covered thyself, who covereth thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain." Oh, that was the other wonderful thing. I watched these scientists, and I love them all. You know, bless their hearts. I wish they knew God as I do, at least in the sense of I'm not as smart as they are, you know, to know all of these wonderful things that they've studied. But because everything that they see in the heavens, it's all going to kill you one day, right? It's always a disaster. You know, the asteroid's going to knock it, the comet's going to destroy, the gamma rays are going to wipe you out. Something's going to kill you. It's a common theme among all the time. I mean, everything gets to be negative. You know? But it says the Lord sits upon the circle of the earth. It says he's the one that watches over it. From their point of view, everything out there is ultimately destructive and ultimately will go away. Maybe take some forever time, but the sun's going to burn out. You know, God says, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. But he's the one that stretched this thing out. And one of those little points of physics is that nothing can go faster than the speed of light, right? And that's why they have such a hard time with the universe and how it's still moving and stuff like that. Because the way they get it figured out with their math is that it's too big. Because it moved faster than the speed of light. I don't think so. I think God just, like a curtain, like a shower curtain, he started at one point and he stretched out the universe as far as he wanted to. And all the light just stretched with it out to the point that he wanted. Go to Isaiah 40. See, I try without being silly. I try to make my Father as big as his word makes him in my mind. I want my God to be as big as he says he is in my heart. Like I said, too many people, they have their Father is just way too small. Way too small. I don't need to know, and I need to believe what the scripture says. I remember my father-in-law said to me once, he says, well, you pray, John. I know God answers your prayers. He won't answer mine. And he really meant it. And he didn't know God. But he knew that God would answer mine. I said to him, so why don't you want to know? He says, he'd never take me. How small is that? How big do you think you are? How arrogant is that? You think your sin can move him? Do you think that your sin can keep him from the mercy that he has declared in his word? You think you're really that special? That's pretty arrogant. That's even more arrogant to think that God can't save you than for me to say that mankind is the whole reason for the universe. That isn't humility, that's pride, arrogance. God can't save you because you're so evil. It says in Job, he says, your righteousness doesn't move him, nor your sin. You can't get good enough to impress him. How do you impress a God who, let's just read here in Isaiah 40, give us a little bit different perspective. Verse 12, Isaiah 40, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance. Now, I want you to just this one verse. Remember we talked about the waters, Genesis 1, right? Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Got the oceans on the bottom, below the heavens, and you got the waters at the end of the expanse. That's the picture you're given. It says, he measured the waters in the palm of one hand. It doesn't say two hands. The whole thing. Now, if you walk out to the beach and you look at the Atlantic, pretty impressive. I can't even wash my face with that much water in one hand. He measured out the oceans and who knows, maybe all the rest of it in the palm of his hand. He has meted out, he has measured out the heavens with the span. You know what the span is in the scripture? The distance between your thumb and your little finger. That's a span. The universe, I remember I said this before, 14 billion light years is what we can see. And we haven't seen the water yet, so we haven't got to the end. He measured it out between his thumb and his little finger. See, your Father, the creator of heavens and earth, doesn't live in his creation. We live in it. Jesus was part of his creation. Our Lord lives in, between the little finger and the thumb of Almighty God. But just like a science project, you don't live inside your science project. You make it. It says he inhabits eternity. He doesn't inhabit just this little universe he made. He is the Holy One, the Almighty. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every word that'll come out of your mouth before you even speak it. It says in Psalm 139, he is before you and behind you. He is with you always. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your Father. He has promised you great and precious things, which he will never withhold. He has shown us pity. He has shown us mercy. He has touched our hearts. He has made known things that are precious and beautiful. He's given us love, a little bit of understanding. And yet, we still see through a glass darkly. We can't possibly know it all. He gave the earth to man. Man messed it up. Really destroyed things in a catastrophic way. The earth is still grumbling, still ripping itself apart because of the sin that was done with Adam. The animal kingdom, they were all supposed to be vegetarians, right? Nobody is supposed to be killing anybody. You go out into the woods now, there's something eating on. There'll be something eating you. Whether it be a bug or something bigger. You know, you go hang out in the woods for a while, something will be chewing on you. It wasn't supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be able to go out and enjoy. Now, even in its decayed state, the earth is gorgeous. But it was meant to be inhabited. The whole thing. It wasn't supposed to be no Mojave Desert and Sierra, Sahara and mountains so high that you can't breathe. One day, it'll be fixed when our Lord returns. But in the meantime, you and I have to keep our Father big in our heart. We have to see Him as the God of wonders. You have to recognize and absolutely choose to believe and to build your faith of who you're dealing with. When you walk down the street, you can put your hand in His and nothing can turn you. There is no situation where He doesn't have your back. And whatever you go through in life, He can get you through it. Is there plenty of tragedy in this thing? Oh yeah, this is not all sunshine. Life ain't all sunshine. People we love die. Jesus Christ told them right as soon as the first teaching He ever did at the Sermon on the Mount. Right? He said, they're going to persecute you. They're going to be thinking they're doing God a favor. Just like they persecuted the prophets. Life wasn't promised to us to be without challenges and grief. It is appointed unto all men to die. But then, there'll be the judgment, the resurrection. There'll be the resurrection for those of us who believe. New body, new mind. Can't wait for that day. Lord, come quickly. But you got to know that your God has got the entire universe between His thumb and His little finger. That's your Father. This is what He did. See, these things, I'll give you a challenge here. Go find Zephaniah. I wanted to get you to one of the white pages in your Bible. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah. Chapter 3. Tell me when you get there. Remember, go backwards. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. I had my fellowship one day, told them to go to Zephaniah. It took them a while. So yeah, it's right after Habakkuk. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Yahweh thy God, thy Elohim, in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. For they are... For For thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He loves you. God promised, you know, Isaiah, you read all these fabulous things that we read in Isaiah. The people that Isaiah spoke to, not a single one of them believed him. God told them at the beginning of his ministry, they're not going to believe you. Imagine being called to deliver a message that no one would ever listen to. But it was given to us. You and I see it. We believe it. God poured out his whole soul and heart to those people. He said, I am your God. I have done all these things. I love you. He says, you turn to me. I'll forgive you your sins. I'll make them as if they've never been seen. And yet they would not return. They didn't turn back to him. You and I see his love, his bigness, his huge magnificence, his mercies, his wisdom. We can have our faith built. Whatever comes our way, you and your Father are there, and you'll be able to handle it. He'll give you the strength that you need. He'll help you like he helped his Son, our Lord and Savior. You are his child, and he loves you. Can I impress that upon you any more and any more and any more? Can I say it any more and sink it in? Because I want you to sink it in to your soul. I want you to sink it in deep. He will rejoice over you. He will save. He will rest in his love. And in Lamentations, you have that beautiful verse where we get that song, Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. Great is thy faithfulness. And maybe I'll close there. He is faithful. Absolutely faithful. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. And Jeremiah says, this, I'm recalling this, and I got hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, for the soul that seeks him. Seek him. Build his word. Like I said, stretch your mind to consider how great and magnificent he is. All that he has done, all that he's provided, all that he has given. He has given us a Savior. He's given us this gospel that if we trust in him and believe, we'll have eternal life with him forevermore to be with the Lord. He wants to be with you. He wants you to seek him. And we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just don't allow God to become small in your thinking. Don't allow it. We're always pressured to do that. How am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to do here? How am I going to do this? God knows. He'll help. He'll provide. He's always been there. He always will. You don't have to worry about your next breath. You can exhale because there'll be another one to take. He's always there for you. And I just wanted to show you and just bring this to your attention again, that he is a God of wonders. And the more you look at what he has done, the more impressive and real he becomes. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.